Blog Talk Radio.
We know that you get self-empowerment and general badassery from our print magazine, our website, and our social media accounts. But this is where we want you to kick back, let loose, and just hang out with us. Give us a call at 546-418-5619. When calling to speak with Crystal and Kiara, please be sure to mute all background sound. Even though we're super laid back here at the Indie Chicks, please remember to be respectful of all of our guests both in the chat room and when calling in.
Welcome to IC Radio, hosted by Crystal and Kiara. This show is sponsored by the Indie Chick team. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor, please get in touch with us after the show.
Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. We are discussing breakups. And how to move on, how to get over them. Because let's face it, not all breakups are amicable. Some are. The freakish ones, they are. And some of them are absolutely downright awful. So we're going to kind of explore that and how to get over them. Julie will be joining me this evening since Kiara is unable to make it. How are you, Julie?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome.
Hello. Yes.
All right. Hey, there you are.
Hi.
Hi, I love your voice. So before you and I get started, we have a caller, and I'm very curious to answer
already.
This call. Because it says that it's talk to Q now. And I'm really wanting to take this
but
call.
But is it?
So let's let talk to Q now on. Hello.
Hello, ladies. How's it going?
It's great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Julie, can you validate this voice for me?
Confirmation that this is the official Q.
Yes, this is the Q from the Talk to Q radio show, Jackson,
Yay.
Mississippi.
We've been having a Q2. We've had a Q2 the last
several
weeks.
Yes, I've heard him, but luckily, for the most part, I think he's represented the letter very well.
Yeah, he hasn't been a bad time at all. I really thought we were talking to you
this whole time.
This whole time.
It took Twitter for me to figure out what was going on because I started seeing quotes that I wasn't saying.
that was my fault.
I'm like, I did.
That's going to be so flattering, though. Like, I live for the day for someone to, like, go around pretending they're me, but in an awesome way, of course. Oh, gosh. Do you have anything you want to tell us about breakups, since it's our subject of the evening, or are you just calling to clear your name?
Well, actually, I was just listening, but, I actually went through a breakup myself about a month ago, so I just thought it would be really cool to listen in and maybe get some insight. It's different for every person. Some people take it pretty hard. Some people, you know, just rolls right off their back. But it's a way to go through that if you're the dumper or the dumpy and still kind of keep your, you know, your esteem intact, kind of, you know, hold your head up a little bit. So, but I'm just interested in what you all have to say, and I'll probably just chime in a little bit.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think, you know, there's different ways people respond to breakups, but there also are so many different types of breakups, you know? There's the amicable breakup, there's the cheating breakup, the this just isn't going to work right now long-distance breakup. There's so many shades of breakups. You know, sometimes just two people just don't work, and sometimes two people just make each other really freaking miserable.
Right.
And I think depending on what kind of breakup and what kind of relationship is, it is really depends on how you move on from it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's very true. And for me, it was, you know, amicable. It was just a mutual understanding that, hey, we don't work together, you know. You have one vision of what you think a relationship should be, and I have another. And so even though it happened kind of quickly, it was one of those things where you kind of knew it was coming. I actually blogged about it actually about a month before it actually happened. Just something I call the walking dead. When you know that things are over, you're just going through the motions.
Oh, yeah. So,
but luckily, you know, we're still fine, still Facebook friends, and we can chat now and then. Just, you know, not ready to the point to where we're ready to run into each other anyway, I don't think.
Right. Personally, being a blogger, I think, or a public figure of any type, is really hard, I think, because when I went through a breakup a few years ago, and being a blogger and having, like, my life just out there, I told my readers everything, and then, you know, I had this really painful time where I kind of talked it out with my ex. I was like, look, you know, I can't really do the whole, like, Crystal Rose is single on Facebook thing because it's going to alert everybody. Like, could we just leave it for a couple weeks and then hide the relationship status when we go to delete it? And he was like, it was a very amicable breakup. So he was like, okay, that's cool. So I had like 3 or 4 weeks to like process it on my own before like the hounds came out for blood and, you know, the wounds got ripped open and then I wrote about it. So I always feel like when you know it's coming, though, like, if you're like, okay, I'm going to break up with this guy, you have exactly half the amount of time that you originally thought you had. Like, if you think I'm going to break up with this dude in a month, like, nope, 2 weeks, over. Like, because once you make that decision, you cannot stop it. Like, time speeds up. It just speeds up. It's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think, Julie?
But seeing it coming doesn't necessarily make it any easier to deal with.
No.
It's rough. It's rough regardless. But I agree.
It was worse.
When you have, oh yeah, absolutely, done the same thing. It's like once you make up your mind that okay, this is not working anymore, every second becomes like an hour, and you're like, I can't wait anymore.
No.
And then
and you like look at their
just,
face, and you're like, oh,
your face. Yeah,
but you know, I guess the hard part is when it's a mutual kind of breakup. Normally, when that happens, both people still love each other. They just know that it doesn't work, you know,
right.
And that's what makes it hard, you know, because I know that I still love her, but however, I know that we can't coexist the way that we were going. And I think a lot of times that can be just as harder as telling someone, get the hell out of my house, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which is very, you know, mature. I think in the past, like now I'm a lot more grown up, but in the past, I think like mutual breakups were out of the fucking question. Like if I wanted to break up with you, you had to still want to be with me. I'd be very upset about it. Otherwise, like, that just wasn't very fun, you know? I didn't want to be broken up with, and I didn't want to, you know, what do you mean you feel the same way? No, you need to be upset. But,
yeah, and
you know,
I think as you mature, too, you run into more of those situations, Q, where you realize that you do still love each other. It's just that your lives aren't going in the same direction, and that's a tough one to go to bed with at night, knowing that there was no problem there with the love or with the communication or with the relationship other than wanting different things out of life, and that's a hard thing to reconcile.
Yes, it really is, and you know, it's just one of those things that just happens, and you have to deal with it like you deal with anything else in life. You have to move on, and some people say the best way to get over someone is to get under someone else, but I mean, everyone has their methods, but you just got to push forward. You can't let it, you know, carry into the next relationship, because if you meet someone and you still have baggage from the last relationship, that's even more of a disaster.
Oh yeah. You're doomed from the start.
No doubt.
All right. Well, Q, I'm going to let you go because we have a guest to bring on in just a couple of minutes. We have another caller, so we are very busy, ladies. But thank you so much for calling in and clearing things up.
Thanks
so
for
happy
having
to
me.
Have you.
I don't see a chat room, so I'll just contribute on Twitter if I hear something I like.
Sounds great.
We can launch.
Thanks,
we can
ladies.
Launch the chat room.
We can.
You're welcome.
I'll
have a great
it.
Night. All
the
right.
Official
okay.
Cue.
The official cue. I feel so much better now, knowing that I wasn't crazy. All right. I'm gonna let a caller on real quick before we let our guest Colin Christopher on, because I see that he is calling. So Colin, just hold on a second. Hey, there's IC Radio. Who are we talking to?
Hello.
No one. It's Darth Vader. He wants to talk.
It's somebody driving.
It's someone driving.
Sounded like road noise in the background.
It's like, skrrr. I'm so happy you're on tonight, Julie. I love getting to talk to you. And after seeing you last week and then having to leave your side, I was very sad. It was like our own little breakup.
Never. It's so hard. That's what it's like. It's one of those things where you don't know. I can only imagine, like, long-distance relationship style. It's like, I miss you so much, and I want, like, and then I'm consumed for a weekend, and then it's like cold turkey withdrawal. It's brutal.
You're not consumed. I did that, and it was literally from the moment I saw him, from the moment we left, all I could think about was the moment I would be leaving. I was not able to stay in the moment. It was like, this is so wonderful. It's going to suck when I have to leave. You know, like, how shitty is that when you can't even just breathe and be in the moment?
Well, I was in the moment, you love. I was in the moment. I was in the moment on the streets of New York. I was there every second. But
eating macarons. Well, you and I were a different story, but.
yes, we were.
All right. Well, I'm going to let on our special guest, Colin Christopher. Apparently, he has lots of tips on how to get over a breakup. I think between the three of us, we should be able to help some people.
We should be good.
We should. Hey there, Colin. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I am well. Are you listening to us and laughing? Like, what did I get myself into?
I've been listening to you for the last 5 minutes. Yeah, it's pretty good. I caught the tail end of Q.
Yeah.
We love
him. We were having it was funny because we've had this caller call in for the last several weeks, and he said his name is Q, and so we've assumed that they were the same person. However, that apparently is not true, and Q was finding himself being quoted all over the internet with things that he did not say. So we but it was funny. So whoever Q number two is, he could still be, his name could still be Q. But he kind of gave us a little run.
Sounds like an episode of Star Trek almost.
Yeah, right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Colin, and why breakups? Like, why are you the guy to give the breakup tips?
Well, probably because I've broken up quite a few times myself, so I think I get a little bit of personal experience. And then I think it comes down to the clients that I see. I'm a hypnotherapist, so I see clients and help them get over breakups and move on and have better relationships, those kinds of things. So it's sort of it comes naturally to me, I guess, just with the clientele that I have. It seems to be a pretty popular thing.
That's right. You are a hypnotherapist. I remember reading that about you. I actually just had hypnotherapy done today.
No.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
What for?
Yeah, it's totally different. for body image, actually, I'm going through a fitness journey, and I have taped up all my mirrors and, like, put them away. I'm, like, crazed right now. And I just want her to help me mentally get in the place where I am happy with my body and happy with myself. And, you know, so when I get to where I want to be physically, I'm not like, this isn't good enough. So we're hoping it works.
That sounds really good.
We're hoping it works.
Well, kind of a similar way when we do hypnotherapy for people with getting over breakups and helping the relationships, it's kind of very similar. You want to get them mentally happy and happy with themselves so that they can move on and start a new relationship with somebody else.
Yeah. So what tips do you – what's your biggest tip if if I just went through a very traumatic breakup, like what's your advice for me?
The biggest tip, I mean, there's probably a few. I mean, the first one I would say is, like, just take a break and get away from, like, all the things that reminds you of that person. So, like, for example, if you've got some things that you bought together that are around the house or whatever it happens to be, you know, get rid of those things. If you really think you want to keep some keepsakes or mementos, you know, put them into a box and then give that box to a friend of yours or a family member that will keep it away from you for at least 6 months to a year. And that way you can make a fresh decision at that point in time whether you want to, you know, access some of those memories and those letters or whatever, you know, whatever they happen to have or those keepsakes and memories. And then I would say go out and do something fun. Like, just don't sit around moping in the house. I mean, everybody kind of sits around at home for the first few days and, you know, thinks about all the things that went wrong and all that kind of stuff. But the better idea is to just get out, do something fun, do something active, go out with your friends and just get your mind off of everything so you can actually start having fun. Because once you're having fun, you get, like, the chemical changes in your body where you actually start feeling better. And that's really the best way to get out there and start improving yourself.
Good.
I agree. I think I'm kind of an emotional cutter at points, though. Like, if it's – like, you know you need to get out of the house. But at the same time, you're like, I need to grieve. Like, I need to wallow in this hell that I am going – you know, even if it were the one to do the breaking up, I think sometimes you just have to, like, grieve for the relationship. And, like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, give it the respect.
Yeah, that's a natural process, but at the same time, take a little bit of time and have some fun, break up the grieving process, because some people, they just get into that wallowing thing, and then once you're in that wallowing grieving process for too long, you start doing emotional things. A lot of people, you know, they emotionally eat, they start picking up bad habits like drinking or smoking or whatever, and then you got to start dealing with the bad habits that you picked up because you spent too much time grieving without actually changing your emotions in some way periodically just so you feel better.
Right. So it's definitely not a good time to pick up, like, a little habit.
No pain pills, like,
girl.
Well, eating.
Stay
it
away
depends,
from
yeah, unless your habit's, like, going to the gym or something positive and constructive that you feel like, you know, if you're 2-3 weeks down the road, you've started picking up a habit, you know, what's the consequences of that habit, you know, 2-3 weeks down the road. And if you think it's positive, then, you know, pick up the habit. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Like, a lot of people pick up, I always recommend going to the gym if you can, or going out for a walk or anything in the sunshine, I guess, depending on the weather and where you live and all that kind of stuff. But just get out of the house.
Well, if you're the one who is broken up with, like, going to the gym is probably the best thing you can possibly do, because you just get in this mindset, like, I am going to get smoking hot right now.
Absolutely. It makes it a little bit easier to get into a new relationship down the road when you feel like you're in really good shape and you feel confident in yourself versus, you know, eating that Rocky Road ice cream for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Gaining a bunch of weight. Yeah.
I think, you know, one of my tips, and it call it superficial, but I think it's important. I think when you go through a breakup, especially if you're the one being broken up with, you need that, like, validation, you know, from the opposite sex. Like, maybe you don't want to date, maybe you're not ready to date or see anyone, but it's really nice to have people notice and admire you. And I went through a particularly traumatic breakup, and I could not, like you said, Colin, like, I could not be home alone. I had to leave the house. I was like, otherwise I was just sitting there in my little couch indent with my cat and, like, not, you know, and I'm like, I need to get out of this house. And my cat was upset because I was never home, but, you know, I got out of the house all the time. But then I started to notice, you know, the man that I was with just treated me so terribly. And everyone I talked to, whether they were just, you know, guy friends or, you know, even females or guys that wanted to date me that I wasn't ready to date, they were so positive and they had such great things to say to me and compliments that I hadn't heard compliments in like a year, you know, really wonderful things. So I think that confidence booster of being social and putting yourself out there and meeting members of the opposite sex, regardless of the fact if you're ready to date or not, it's not about dating. It's about, you know, getting that external validation, because sometimes you really need that. Sometimes you cannot do that for yourself when someone else hasn't been doing that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, a lot of people beat themselves up, especially if they've been in a relationship where they've been sort of you know, not necessarily abused, but, you know, just not appreciated in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, another good exercise that you can do is just go to family members and friends and just, you know, ask them, tell me three things that you really like about me. And when you start, and even up when you start meeting people and just talking to them for 5-10 minutes, you know, tell me one or two things that you just kind of like about me. And people will tell you. And when you hear these things, you hear things that you'd never thought about or you haven't heard in such a long time. And it really, it makes you feel so much more positive when that happens.
Very true. Julie, what do you like about me?
Oh, Crystal.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I can think of nothing. When you go through a breakup, then we'll talk about it. Until then.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
No, it won't.
I'll crawl into a hole and disappear if that happens at this point.
No.
I think I've chosen the right one by now. We'll see.
I think so.
Well, I'll tell you both. You both have wonderful voices, and I love listening to you. So there you go.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're so positive.
I agree.
I might start calling you up, Colin, and have you give us that.
There we go.
I need three positive things, please.
Well, we have a caller. I think it's the same person who was trying to call us earlier, so maybe they have a question for us or Colin. We'll see. Hey there, you're on IC Radio. Can you hear us?
Hi, are you talking to me?
I am talking to you. Who are we talking to?
My name is Morgan. I just called to listen to your show. I don't have a question. I just wanted to hear you guys' talk today.
Oh.
Fantastic. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in and letting us know that you're listening. We really appreciate it. It's nice to know that we're not talking to crickets tonight.
Just kidding. We don't talk to crickets.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Be sure to let us know if you have a question.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Morgan. Sweetest people who call us. I love it.
We really do.
I love it. I love when we had Helen Heels Girl and one of her little fans called and they were like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you right now.
Colin, I have a question for you.
Yeah, fire away.
Because this is a something that I just actually wrote about. It hasn't been published on the site, but it's something that's been on the forefront of my mind, and that is people that relationship jump after a breakup and they don't know how to take the time, because I'm a big believer in after a breakup, learning from your past relationship, taking a little bit of time for yourself, again, not to wallow, but just to say, what went wrong, what went right, what do I want to do differently in the next relationship, you know, what have I learned from the last relationship, and what is your advice for people who don't take that time for themselves and go from like one doomed relationship to the other? How can they break that cycle?
Yeah, that is a pretty vicious cycle. In my mind, it's a vicious cycle, but it's one, like, even if you've already relationship jumped and you're with the next person, the thing I recommend doing is just sitting down and whether you're in a relationship or not, focusing on the person you're with and actually writing down the things that you like about them, and then writing down the things that you liked about your past relationship, and then also putting another column on the other side and writing down the things that you didn't like, and see if you're actually repeating the pattern. Because typically what happens when your relationship dump is you repeat who you were dating before. It's like inserting boyfriend or girlfriend A with boyfriend or girlfriend B, and it's the exact same kind of thing, and you're dealing with the same problems. So sit down and objectively look at those things. If you're dealing with the same problems or you're dealing with the same kinds of characteristics with that same person, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to break up with them, but it is something to look at for yourself and see, you know, why am I picking these characteristics? What is it about myself that I want to, you know, either heal or change or fix by dating this person, and then doing that and, you know, possibly, you know, having a good relationship with that next person versus repeating the same mistakes that you had the next or the last time.
Oh, I would like to bottle that advice and just hand it out to women on
right?
the street.
Right? There you go. There is
but,
so many.
I mean, that goes with a current relationship too. Like, yeah, if you're having a relationship where you're having problems, write down the stuff that you like and write what you don't like and what the issues are. And identify them instead of repeating the same mistakes over and over again. At least that way, once you have identified something, you have the opportunity to change it.
I have had girlfriends who have done this, and I'm like, you realize you're dating the same guy, right? And they're like, no, no, this one is, oh, no, he loves me so much.
Different.
And I'm like, no, no, no. Different face, slightly different
yeah.
body, same freaking guy. Like, you're dating the same guy. Like, how do you not notice this? And it's crazy. It's like banging your head up against the wall and being like, my head hurts.
Yeah.
This is strange. And then you just go back to it. Why?
Yeah, I had a friend who dated 6 different women that looked almost exactly the same. It was, he's like, he married the last one when everything went well, but it was just one of those things. You look at it, it's like, who's the first one and why you keep on repeating it over and over again?
Oh, yeah.
So
if
funny
you look,
to watch.
If you lined up every, like, serious relationship I've had, like, just line the guys up, you would look at them and be like, what the hell is the common denominator? Like, what? This doesn't make any damn sense. There's no way they all dated the same girl. I don't have a type, so luckily for me, I'm not a pattern girl. I like relationships. I think, like, Julie, you make a good point about hopping into a relationship and you know, not having that time for yourself, because I think it's really important to see, like, how you can be better, a better person, and that's what, you know, at the Indie Chicks, we're all about that, being the best mm-hmm. possible version of yourself. So after a breakup, even if, you know, you broke up with them or they broke whatever the reasoning is, stop and be like, what could I do better? And apply it to that next relationship. So maybe you had a short fuse and maybe, you know, like you rolled your eyes every time he spoke because you couldn't stand him, you know, or maybe you'll have a little patience in the next one. And like I said, I like to hop. I like to be in relationships, not so much hop. I think I'm comfortable in a relationship because I like taking care of people and, you know, having someone full time to fuss over is always nice. but I think as I've gotten older, there's been a lot less hopping and a lot more self-reflection. I think that goes for a lot of people in their early, you know, your early 20s, you think like, this is it, you're 22 and you're like, the love of my life. And then it all comes crashing down and you think that's the end
what
of the world.
Happened?
And it's really, yeah, it's not. You have so much more time.
Absolutely. So, Colin, what advice do you have for women who are trying to be supportive of their friends who are newly broken up and not willing to leave the Häagen-Dazs and the yoga pants and the sofa? Because the struggle
that's
is real.
Yeah, that's
a
really
for a
good
lot
question.
Of us,
I mean, you...
and it's it's hard sometimes,
I mean,
to balance being considerate and kind and, like, wanting to just rip them off of the sofa. So help us help them.
Well, typically, if they just don't want to get off the sofa and the couch, like, it's funny how women kind of watch romance movies after they have been broken up and they kind of sit there and, you know, they eat their ice cream or whatever it is. But you know, the suggestion I would have is if they're sitting there watching a movie and eating the ice cream or whatever, flip to a different movie, something that's just a little bit more cheerful.
Or like ship blowing up.
Watching things
that
are positive. What was that?
I said, or like movies with ship blowing up. That's fine.
Yeah, that always works too, yeah. But anything where there's visual stimulation that's different from what they're expecting, like that's opposite of a relationship movie. So things blowing up, a comedy, whatever it is, once you start stimulating their subconscious mind with visual things that are positive or and it just different, it allows their subconscious mind to start working on something else because they get into that loop where you just focused on the breakup and the feelings of emotions and feeling really bad. So what you got to do is snap them out of their bad emotion. Another tip that you can do is actually get them to look up at the ceiling. When you actually look up, you disconnect yourself from emotion somewhat. Some people, when they look up, they actually feel happy, but it's really you're disconnecting from the negative emotion for a brief moment. So once they're disconnected, then you have the opportunity to just get them up and try to get them out of the house. But if you're always looking, you notice people who are really sad, they're always looking down. And if you can just change their physical orientation just a little bit, it changes their emotional state as well.
That's a great tip.
That's fascinating.
I like that. Let's look up. Except when I look up, I see spiders on the ceiling, and that makes me very emotional.
I would lose my mind.
That just happened to me in the shower in this cabin that we were in this weekend. I looked up and flipped out. So
I'd be dirty the rest of the weekend.
But I think that's good. Like, let's look up. I literally screamed, and my boyfriend had to come in and, like, rescue me. And I told him, this is like, where our relationship had a conflict. I was like, before I got in the shower, I told you to look up in all four corners. And did you? Clearly not, because that spider was waiting to have my life. He was ready to take me. There was almost a breakup over that. but I think looking up is a great thing, and I think it's a good tool, even if you're just outside. Like, let's look up and look up at the sky. Let's look up at, you know, there's so many beautiful things in the world around us to admire, and looking up, not only does it, you know, physically to disconnect your emotions from you, but, you know, there's so many things to see and see that the world is a lot bigger than we are.
Mm-hmm. Than one breakup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something also works really well is, like, if you have access to, like, a little puppy or a little kitten or some kind of small animal that's kind of a baby, because you can't, like, anybody who's sad, they can't not look at those kinds of pets. And so if you can get them to hold them and pet them a little bit, they'll feel better. And then once they feel a little better, you have an opportunity to speak with them. Actually, I think in universities, or at least the ones the University of Alberta here in Edmonton where I live, they actually have a room where you can actually, during study time, you can actually go and play with dogs. And the people who play with the dogs, they just feel better and more relaxed. So it's something that they can do.
Definitely.
I want to come and go to school there now.
Well, I can just ship you Emmy in a box with holes in it next time you're feeling sad, Julie.
That works,
she is
too.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, please don't kill any pets. Please.
No. Holes. Put the holes in the box with a key point.
Trust me, Emmy would live just to annoy me another day.
I like that you said puppies and kittens and not small babies. Because
yes, thank you for that.
They're
people who go through a breakup, sometimes seeing babies makes them sad, especially if they're getting to that age where their biological clock is ticking. And that just makes them feel worse. So
we're a little anti-baby. Not anti-baby, but you
not
know.
No.
We're kind of anti-baby.
Anti-babies for ourselves. Every other baby is fantastic.
Every other baby is great. I love other people's babies because I don't have to take them home with me. but
your baby.
We digress.
Yes.
We digress. You're fun, Colin.
Thank you.
I'll
send you a puppy.
But seriously, you're going to be my new favorite person, Colin. You're going to send me little puppies and kittens and tell me three great things about myself every day.
Oh, my God. We won't have to do anything for ourselves anymore. It'd be awesome. I'm going to send you the puppy. No, I'm sending you the puppy. Don't
dare
take anyone
correct it.
You can be on puppy overload soon.
I already am, and I only have one. She's a handful, but she's great. She is a great snuggler. When my boyfriend's away traveling, like, snuggling with her is amazing. Like, it is just so therapeutic. So I definitely think there are actually, one of the clients I work for does in-home boarding. So if you are a sad person and you love dogs, you could have dogs board in your home. There are companies that do that. You can take dogs in for daycare or just overnight and get paid for it. And get to snuggle. Everybody wins. It's awesome.
Well, that brings up another question that I have for Colin, and that is, you've broken up, and you're doing your best to move on and to stay present and to appreciate all the great things in life. But with a breakup does come the loneliness of night. And it's true. And
I know.
When you have a breakup like that, sometimes the hardest time is when you're shutting down at night and you realize there's no longer that person that you used to say goodnight to or talk to your day about or snuggle you and hold you while you're sleeping. So what tips do you have for women to kind of handle that sad, lonely part of the day where it might not be appropriate to call a friend or reach out for help, but you're still having a hard time.
Well, I think that's where the grieving process comes in. Like when you're coming out and doing, getting out of the house, I usually recommend at least trying to get out of the house 3 times a week. But when you're in those moments, because there's going to be plenty of them, you're going to have the opportunity to really think about it. Take the time and grieve, because those are the appropriate times to grieve. But also start thinking about times that, you know, before you met this person, because most people haven't been in a relationship all their life. You know, think about times in the past where you were happy on your own, or think about times where you were traveling and doing things where you were excited and happy, and just shift your focus away from the things that are keeping you sad, like the fact that nobody's there at that point in time. And also think about another good exercise is just sit down and write a letter to yourself like a year from now, approximately. I usually just say a year just because it's, you know, standard. But you can write down the things that you're going to enjoy in a new relationship with a new person. And those things can be, looking forward to seeing them at night, or talking to them and snuggling with them, and all those kinds of things. Because it is something that will happen again. And looking forward and thinking about it happening again with somebody new and exciting that respects you and adores you and compliments you and, brings you puppies or whatever that happens to be, look forward to those kinds of things and write down, you can write down on the letter, I look forward to the time when I'm going to be doing this and this and this again. And when you're looking forward to something, it changes your emotional state again and you feel better.
Fantastic tips.
What do you think about, okay, when you go through a breakup and you can't, like, let's say it's one of those amicable sort of situations where, there wasn't like a knockdown drag out, no one cheated, there wasn't any drama, it just happened to be one of those things where, let's say, bad timing. And then
yep.
You have this bad timing breakup. How do you move past, well, maybe we'll get back together, or maybe, how do you go from not obsessing about maybe it could work, or maybe, maybe he just needs a week or whatever, to, okay, it's a breakup, it's broken, I need to move on, it's not going to happen because it didn't happen. Like, how can you make that transition?
Really, that comes down to having a decision about what you want to do. Typically when you're thinking maybe we'll get back together, maybe XYZ is going to happen, you're not making a decision to move on with your life. You're making a decision to keep yourself in a holding pattern and waiting. So the key there is to really just, give yourself, think about it. It doesn't have to happen overnight. It can take a few days or a few weeks. But once you make a decision, I'm either, by such and such a date 2 weeks from now, if it doesn't resolve itself and we get back together, I'm definitely cutting it off. I'm going to move on. I'm going to cease communication at this point in time and just work on doing things that allow me to move on in my life versus leaving yourself in that holding pattern of maybe this will happen, maybe it won't happen. Because I'm just as guilty of this as probably women. I've done it before in my relationships where, maybe I've had that amicable breakup, but I thought maybe we'd get back together. And I spent 6 months thinking that, and I realized after 6 months, I've wasted the last 6 months where I could have met somebody else who was, just as good or better than the last girlfriend I had. So it's just really, it comes down to making a decision and sticking to it.
Good. I like that. I actually kind of can answer this also because I asked it, but I actually went through this where I, long distance relationship and we broke up, and literally the only reason why we broke up is because of the distance. So I think a lot of people, women especially, are likely to hang on to, well, if this changes, then everything will be okay and we'll get back together. And I'm not the kind of girl who usually goes back to exes. Like, they go in the trash, they stay there, bye. But with this particular relationship, I was like, if he moved here, I would be back. We'd be back together. No problem. Until I did meet someone else, a million times better. I mean, I had gotten past it in my own mind. I wasn't making love potions or anything or doodling his name on my notebook. But, I had gotten past it. But I did meet someone else who, once I started dating my boyfriend now, I realized all the other things in the relationship that were not perfect, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like this, so while, yes, the actual catalyst of the breakup was distance and bad timing and all that stuff, technically it probably would have eventually happened on its own, but I lived there for however long, a month or two, thinking, you know, this could have worked. So I think for women, you know, if it's a breakup, it's broken, and you've got to understand that bad timing is kind of like doing you a favor. It means it's not it. Because if it was going to work, it would have worked. That's really my stance on the whole subject. Well, I don't know about you, Julie.
Yeah, I think the breakups happen for a reason, and I personally kind of never understood the whole pining for somebody who doesn't want you, and kind of hoping like, well, maybe I'll get him back, maybe he'll come back. It's like, dude, he didn't want you, and why do you want somebody who doesn't want you? For whatever reason, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So. I mean, I know that sounds a little bit cold, and I know that there's always different situations around it, but essentially that's what it comes down to.
I like it when you're cold. I like it when you're cold because you're always scared to be cold, and I like it.
Well, thank you.
But
I am not scared.
That's a really good point with the pining, actually, because typically if you're pining away at somebody and they don't want you, there's an emotional need that person has fulfilled for you. So that's a really good opportunity to look at what that emotional need is that person's fulfilling and see, you know, what the qualities of that person is, why is it that they're fulfilling that, and then look for that being fulfilled with somebody who's actually a good match for you instead of somebody who doesn't want you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true. And even in that relationship, looking back, if, you know, there was priorities there, and had he shifted around his priorities, it would have been a different story. But the priorities were not shifted, therefore he did not want me, therefore, Jill, you are correct in that assessment that, you know, there's billions of people out there. There's billions of people out there. If it doesn't work with someone for whatever reason, find the person it works with. It's going to take time. Let it take time.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of women and men find themselves doing. I've had a couple guy friends recently have breakups, and they do the same thing. Well, I was ready to settle down with her, and I thought she was the one, and now, you know, I've waited this long, and I haven't found that person, and she was the first person I wanted to do that with, and it didn't work. So now, clearly, I'm going to be alone forever. And it's and that kind of finite thinking after a breakup is so counterproductive to you ever being happy again. To assume that this person was your only chance at happiness is so detrimental to your mental health and your progress in life that you'll never find the right person. You know, terrified.
Yeah,
if you're feeling
that that person is the only person and you've never, you know, you're never going to find somebody else again, really, then you're just not going out and meeting enough people. If you're going out and like taking class, or like take a cooking class or anything, yoga. It's not as many guys in yoga, but it's good for me when I go to yoga because I can meet a lot of women. But you have to just go out there because if you don't expose yourself to enough people, then you get that sort of one-itis, you can call it almost, that where you think that person is the only person. It's just you have to meet other people, and that's once you've met, if you've got a large social network and a large group of friends, you'll see fairly quickly that whole putting that person up on the pedestal and nobody else can be on that pedestal disappears very quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so. I don't know what you do primarily as a hypnotherapist, but do you ever work with women who have that problem of kind of looking into the past and seeing everything perfect? We have this tendency to look at our exes through this lens of perfection, forgetting all of their flaws and just, you know, remembering all of the good and then being sad that that's gone. Is that something that you find women coming to you to get help to change that thinking in their head?
Actually, I find that actually men do that more than the women. They come see me more.
Really?
Guys. It's a little bit different. Like in the dating world, like I can comment on online dating and in the bars and those kinds of things. Usually, there's more guys than girls inside bars and online dating and anything like that. Like I personally have girlfriends who are online dating, and they can be online for 10 minutes and get 20 emails, and a guy won't get an email at all from anybody.
Oh, yeah.
So it's much easier for a guy to think, you know, they meet this one person and, you know, there's nobody else out there because I don't, you know, no women talk to me, that kind of thing. And it's because they're just not social enough to go out and talk to women. Whereas women, because, I mean, literally, if you're feeling bad, you go online and make a profile and you'll get 20 guys hitting on you within an hour and suddenly you feel a lot better, right? So it's definitely
true.
More of a guy problem than a girl problem.
Okay.
Interesting. I think that the glorifying the good things in the relationship happens in the relationship too. I think it happens before the breakup. Like you remember all the good times, or you know, especially in the beginning, then you are resistant to breaking because you're like, but we were so happy at one point a really long time ago, or once in a while when he's feeling nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is something that women usually beat themselves with before the actual breakup occurs.
Well, a lot of people, like, before the breakup occurs, like, if you're remembering those good times and there were good times, why did all those good times stop? And if there's an ability for the two of you to sit down and talk and say, okay, you know what, suddenly we've got money issues, or suddenly we've got kids, or, you know, whatever those issues are, or just we don't go out anymore, we both work and we come home and we eat and we go to sleep. You know, typically you had fun because you went out and did fun things together, and you need to actually recreate those fun things or do new fun things, because if you don't, of course your relationship's going to become stagnant and boring and whatever else is going to happen. So that takes effort. That, you know, relationships are salvageable if you actually go work on them and remember why it was good in the beginning and how to duplicate that again.
Yeah, I think in a good relationship also, like, it's not able to go off the rails that far. You shouldn't have to reel it in that far, you know? It shouldn't get to the point where you're not speaking and, you know, all of that stuff. If you have a good relationship to begin with and it's not just smoke and mirrors, then the communication should be there enough to be like, what the hell is happening? Who are we right now? Then you can reel it in and you can bring those good times back because you have a communication where you can do that. I think when it gets to the point where it's just like, sometimes it's just so far gone, that where do you even begin? Where do you even begin to repair the relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's you need to have that strong foundation of communication in the beginning. You know, I recommend that for men and women. You know, you need to become an effective communicator in a relationship. I mean, you don't have to be a public speaker or anything like that, but you do need to be able to express yourself. Yeah. Well, I mean, typically guys have trouble expressing their emotions.
I just pictured myself
And they need to be able to talk.
That's really it.
Yeah.
Standing
and,
in a podium at my living room.
To listen.
Any questions? I'm going to take this time.
I'll give you the microphone now.
Yeah. Oh, I am a communication Nazi. There's so much communication going on in this house. It's ridiculous. It's like sometimes there's too much. We have to have organized moments of silence so we don't talk anymore.
No silence for you.
No silence.
Communication is so key. But if everybody was perfect at communication, there would be a lot fewer breakups in the world. So
yeah, but it's like, you know, I think when you go into a relationship as a partnership and not as just like, oh, he's hot, you know, and you go into it as something more than just, I like him, he likes me, we like to have sex, that's it. You know, if you really care about the person and you're friends with the person and lovers and partners, I think that communication finds its way. As opposed to, you know, you mm-hmm. really like each other, the fire's hot, and then 2 months later you're like, I can't even talk to this guy.
I have nothing in common with him outside of my bedroom.
I just want to put my hand over his mouth when he talks.
Oh, so cute. So stupid.
Or a piece of tape. Yeah. Oh, goodness. We have fun.
Well, I think especially in the beginnings of relationships, people, because they have that emotional cascade and, you know, whether they're having sex or whatever it is that's really, really good, those blinders get on and they don't have that, you know, they just don't take, you know, half a minute to really just step back and say, okay, can I talk to this guy? What else do we have in common? You know, can we have a relationship? And if not, you know, am I going to stick around or, you know, and enjoy myself for the next little bit and then go through the breakup and feel sad or move on to the next guy that could be the right one for me. And that's always a decision you can make in the beginning, but it's, you do have to take a step back, and that's not always easy. It's, you know, when you're emotionally, you know, elated, you don't want to step back and say, well, what's going on here?
No, I think too many women kind of get very comfortable in that woe is me phase, and waking up from that is hard for a lot of them. The struggle is real for them.
It is real. Well, mm-hmm. Colin, I want you to tell us if you have anything to promote, anything that you're working on, anything we should know about. Now is the time before we wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested, check out my book at successthroughmanipulationbook.com. I've written a book. It's based on my hypnosis experience performing on stage and seeing clients one-on-one. So it's really about identifying different things that are manipulating you, like your family, your friends, your work, your relationships, whatever those happen to be, and then identifying things so that you can stop the manipulation and improve your thinking and improve your relationships and improve your work or whatever else you want more success in. So please check that out. You can download 5 free chapters at stmbook.com.
Perfect. So this is about not manipulating people.
No, it's about identifying how you're being manipulated primarily by your own thinking. So I mean, it's being able to take a step back and disconnect emotionally for a second, look at your things logically so that you can actually make decisions that are better for you.
Because I know some of our readers, and I just don't want them to be disappointed thinking that they're going to learn how to manipulate.
When they're not learning how to hypnotize men. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you can download 5 free chapters and see if it's right for you.
There you go.
That is a great idea. What else?
If you're looking to have a hypnosis show, I'd be happy to help you out. So just go to colinchristopher.com and check out all my hypnosis clips and all that kind of stuff and all the fun things that I do on stage.
That could be very fun. Very fun. I've been to some of those shows. Some of them are dirty. Do you do the dirty stuff or you keep it clean?
No, I do. I do the clean stuff. I was thinking about it this way. If I wouldn't want to see my own mother doing it, I don't want anybody else to do it.
Good call.
And yes, I love my mother, so you're good.
Yeah. Every man should love his mother. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for...
On YouTube, thank you for that.
Thank you so much for calling in, Colin. You were awesome, and hopefully we didn't scare you too much.
Not at all. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Have a great night.
You
sorry.
You too. Sorry, Colin.
I do that with the phone all the time. Like, literally, I'll be like, okay, bye, because I hate being on the phone. Yeah. And there are so many times where people are like, oh, and I just
But
don't.
I was
I'm
done.
Like, text it to me.
text me.
Oh, goodness. Well, if you haven't picked up a copy of our summer issue, it is still... in Books a Million and Barnes & Noble, and there is an article in there about dumping and being the dumper, the dumpy, both.
Yep.
Pretty awesome article. We've got plenty of articles about love, dating, breakups, how to get your man to chase you again, all those good things on theindychicks.com. We are still running our Indiegogo campaign. What's an Indiegogo campaign, Julie?
An Indiegogo campaign is a fantastic platform, much like Kickstarter, where we ask for your help in funding and contributing to our print magazine, which we have heard you countless times say you love and need. So Indiegogo is a fantastic platform that allows us to reach people with our video and our message and let you know about what we're trying to keep on the shelves, which is a positive voice for women in media.
Absolutely. We want to keep it there. And if you want to keep it there, then you will help us with our Indiegogo campaign. We are also hosting a fundraiser in Charlotte, North Carolina at Sweet Charlotte on September 5th, which is a Friday, from 9 to 11:30 p.m. It is $5 at the door, or you can go on our Indiegogo campaign and drop the $5 in advance. get your name on the list. And that $5 gets you a bracelet for $3. You call us all night, courtesy of us, the Indie Chicks. So
Thank
if you're in
you.
Charlotte, North Carolina, or around, I would love it if you come. Our first cover girl, Cameron, is going to do a live performance. She's amazing.
I am writhing in jealousy.
So, and I will be there. And I will be there. Yeah. I've seen her perform. She's so great. She's like a little, like, jumping bean of, like, energy and, like,
oh
light.
My gosh.
And she dances like a crazy person the whole time. She's amazing. So
I'm shrinking her and put
stoked.
Her in my pocket. It looks like it's going to be a great time. And such a fantastic deal. $5 for
yeah.
a bracelet and $3 you calls it. Like
anything you want. Anything
yep.
you want.
Head on over to that Indiegogo campaign, igg.me/@IndieChick, and give your $5.
I think that's it. I think that's all we have to share for the evening. Do you want to say something nice to me and I'll say something nice to you?
Yes, I do, actually. I think that's a fantastic way to close the show. We should do it every single time.
We should.
Crystal, I yes. absolutely adore your persistence and your positivity and your inability to take no for an answer. And that, to me, is incredibly endearing. And I just want to squeeze you forever.
Aw, that's so sweet. Well, one, I love the way that you hug. You're a great hugger, and I love hugging you. That's why I got, like, 3 hugs in when I first saw you again.
You did come back for more, and I was okay with it.
I did. I also love the way that you are, like, so conscious of other people's feelings. Like, I'm just not, and, like, you are so good at that. You really are. You always can put, like, a positive spin on things. And you work your ass off. And I love it. Love that you're a hustler.
Thank you. I just got, like,
we're
really emo.
We're fuzzies.
That was beautiful. And if I ever, ever have a messy breakup, you're the first person I'm calling to tell me 3 positive things about myself.
Well, yeah, girl, I'll show up with a bottle of wine and action flicks. We'll look up at the
ceiling. Look at the ceiling, Julie. God damn it. Look at the ceiling.
All right, everybody. Well, I hope that you enjoyed our show tonight. And next week, I have no idea what the show is about, but stay tuned. 8 p.m. every Tuesday. It's going to be awesome. It always is. Good night.
Good night, everyone.